Let's get a local economic snapshot with Windermere Chief Economist Matthew Gardner. I did see a newspaper headline that despite our worst fears, businesses are snapping up office space in downtown Seattle. Is that what you're seeing?
Yes, it is. And it's interesting. And to a degree, half of me wants to be surprised, but the other half doesn't. I think that there are still a lot of companies trying to figure out what they are going to do and how their businesses are going to look going forward. But on the other hand, I think it doesn't surprise me. I think as we continue to reopen, people are going to go back into their offices, likely many of them not full time, but part-time. So yeah, given that, I think it's something which we should expect to see continuing as we move forward through the balance of the year.
So living in the city will be fun again?
He's hoping at some point. I don't think we're there yet, but I as I've said on several occasions, I think that dismiss downtown Seattle ad hoc is really underestimating what Seattle is and will be again.
Why is it that we were named, Washington State was named the best state in the nation by U.S. News and World Report, but a survey of, I think it was CEOs, actually has us near the bottom of the list? What gives?
Well, I think the positives in terms of is that first article you mentioned is concerned. We are a remarkable location. We've got very, very talented, et cetera, et cetera. We've obviously got great outdoor activities, open space, these kinds of things. And that means that people do want to come here. And we continue to see that. Certainly a lot of people coming out of California and most other parts of the Western United States. On the business side, however, it's a cost thing more than anything else. And I say cost based upon a lot of it is because of housing and housing costs, because there must be a relationship between how much a company has to pay their employee and what it costs to live. And we are certainly at that inflection point. And what is going to be interesting as we go forward is that how long is it going to take before businesses say, I can't afford to pay people what they need in order to live in Seattle. And therefore, I'm going to start looking at some other potentially cheaper markets. And I think because of COVID-19, we might see that magnified a little bit more. And companies choosing not to be in Seattle, but maybe to be in Spokane. Housing costs are significantly lower, or hopefully not, out of state. And that would be, we've seen a lot of interest from companies in Idaho, certainly around Boise, and even Las Vegas, because of cost of living. So I think we really have a bit of a disparity there between the great parts about Seattle and the not so great. And the not so great tends to be driven by company CEOs and CFOs.
What about Texas? Texas was the big winner in the population race in this last census. They're going to get, a couple more members of Congress. And I was talking with David Farenthold from Washington Post, who comes from Houston. I was asking him what Texas' secret is. And he says it's basically their policy is if you want to build it, build it.
Yeah,
the faster you can build it, the better. Do you agree with that?
Yes, it's true. I mean, they certainly have the space. And what we are seeing, a lot of interest, specifically when it comes to Texas, is around Austin. Austin is becoming a very major technology center. It is, relative to the rest of Texas, remarkably liberal. And quite frankly, Austin is a very cool city unto itself.
So
we are seeing a lot of people move in that direction, less so to Dallas, Houston, obviously, and those other more magnified cities. But Austin's come up a lot in the last couple of years as being a very hip place to live, but also one that is relatively affordable.
Yeah, so do we need to compete with that? And what would we have to do in terms of making housing more affordable? We're failing spectacularly because I see the I see prices in the latest multiple listings report going up. Let's see, King 15%, Snohomish 24%. Yeah, Pierce 23%. So there you go. I mean, it's great if you're an owner, right?
Oh, no, it is. Well, it's interesting to see in the numbers that you just mentioned. Certainly the prices are just extraordinary. But if you look at the number of pending sales, let's say, deals that haven't closed yet but have been agreed, up by 77% in King County. Now, that's extreme to the nth degree. But again, we've got to look at what was going on last April when real estate was not considered to be an industry where you had to be open. That stopped. So we have to be a little bit cautious there. But it was pleasing to see that there are now more homes for sale than we've seen in the last couple of months. So we've seen an increase in listings. That's good because we'll see more supply And with more supply, hopefully some of the home would-be home buyers out there that are suffering from buyer fatigue, well, they might get some more choice. But more than that, with more choice, we're seeing actually an interesting drop in the average and the median list, not sale price. Mm-hmm. And that tells me one thing, as that if it continues, then we're going to see sales price growth not turn negative, but start to soften somewhat and get away from those 15, 20, 25% increases that we saw year over year in April.
Yeah. With all this spending going on at the federal level, what's the forecast for mortgage rates?
Mortgage rates are interesting. They certainly took a notch up as the vaccine distribution became better, and the expectation was we were going to see the economy reopen. Now, when that happens, we tend to see a move away from the bond market and more into equities. And when that happens, price of bonds has to drop. The interest rate you get has to rise. And interest rates on mortgages are tied directly to the yield on 10-year treasuries. So we saw those go up. They've softened. They kind of leveled off a bit. My expectation is that rates are going to rise. Bottom line is anyone out there looking for a mortgage, 30-year fixed, starting with a two handle, well, they're behind us. But I don't expect to see 4% mortgages coming into play until probably sometime early to mid next year. So they're going to be rising slowly, but still stay in that mid 3% range for most of the year.
And the median price of a single family house in King County is now $750,000?
It's actually more than that. If you look at a combination of single family and multifamily, $750,000. Single family on its own in King County, $830,000.
You think you're going to hit $1 million?
Well, we're already seeing, so essentially to actually dig deeper into the numbers, North Seattle, the average price there is now over $1 million. So we know Mercer Island, obviously, Kirkland, Sammamish is getting close. So I think it's going to take a while before we could get to that $1 million. It's certainly not going to be this year. It's going to take some time. We have select submarkets, neighborhoods, absolutely, that are above that level. But I think the median at above $1 million for King County as a whole, that's a ways away yet.
Matthew Gardner, Chief Economist, Windermere Real Estate. Thank you, Matthew.
You are always welcome, Dave. Take care.